This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, and welcome, everybody, to this live edition of the Toastmasters Podcast. Woo! Listen to that. It is great to see so many empty chairs here. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Bo.
We're going to be starting off this live edition speaking with a familiar guest of the Toastmasters podcast. And Ryan, do you want to give a quick introduction?
Yes, our guest is none other than the immediate past president of Toastmasters International, Mr. Gary Schmidt.
Gary!
Welcome, Gary.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure it's to good be to have here. You back, Gary.
Thank you. It's been about a year since we last spoke on the podcast.
Yes,
that's right. When you were first on, when you first became president, and we just found out, maybe many of you don't know this, but Gary officially became the immediate past president as of this morning.
That's business meeting.
Yes. Woo! How do you feel? That's the first question. How do you feel?
I feel great.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it was all worth it, of course.
It was absolutely worth it. Yeah. Every minute of it.
Okay, we want to hear about your favorite moment. What was your favorite moment being the president?
There are many memorable moments, from chairing the board of directors and making wonderful decisions that I hope you agree with are going to set our organization on a strong path forward to the future, as well as visiting districts, which is another opportunity for the president, going to District 69 in Australia, which was awesome, and visiting Iowa and Wisconsin, Colorado, South Carolina, California.
Other places.
Other places, too. I don't want to offend anyone. They were all fantastic visits to meet Toastmaster members and talk about the great program.
So what kind of commitment is it to be a president? How much time was taken out of your schedule?
How much time was left in your schedule? Yeah.
It was probably about 40 to 50 hours a week, every week, volunteer. In addition, I had a paid job, which was 40 to 50 hours a week. But it was one short year of my life, and it was well worth the time because you improve your own skills while helping others in the organization.
Wow. No regrets.
I was thinking of that earlier, Gary. I was talking with someone who was going to be a district governor this year and said he's thinking of it as almost like getting an MBA. And I figured, gosh, with Gary, this must be like an MBA to the 10th power. What would you say was the most important thing you learned about leadership that you wouldn't have learned if it hadn't been for this past year?
You learn so much at every level of leadership in Toastmasters, not just being international president, but being a club president or an area governor or a district governor. What enhanced skills I learned this year was in particular that it's all about people and how you make people feel. Really, ultimately, that's how you lead others, is by touching their heart. And I hope I've done that for you this year. It's touched my heart being able to be your president and simply to help people get what they need and what they want. And ultimately, it helps you get what you need and what you want.
You've touched my heart, Gary.
Mine too. My gosh. I'm melting.
Yes.
Did Gary ever answer my question, or did he dodge that one about how much time he spent?
I answered that.
No, he did.
40 to 50 hours a week.
You just weren't listening, Bo.
All right. Yeah. Sorry.
You should join a group called Toastmasters, Bo. That
communication skills is more than just speaking. It's listening as well, folks.
Absolutely.
There's a lesson for you.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, we have some more questions for Gary, but how about our audience? Do you guys have any questions for Gary? Remember, he just...
Oh, look at this.
All right. Well, why don't you come up to the mic, you sir? Come on first up to the mic, say your name, where you're from, and ask away.
All right. I'm Jack Schmidt from Long Beach, New York. I mean, this is my most embarrassing moment. From Long Beach, California, that is. And I belong to Club 8771. And my basic question is, what do you do on a day-to-day basis as president? Just give it us an idea. I know it changes over time as different things happen, but on a normal day-to-day basis.
The day-to-day basis is being in touch with Dan Rex, the executive director, to talk about operational issues. And while that's not a function of the board, certainly the president needs to be engaged in knowing what's going on at world headquarters and with our members and districts. I get a ton of emails from everyone all over the world. My email is public, which I'm glad of that. But club presidents asking for a welcome message, or perhaps a district leader around the world who I met at some point, asking for advice or counsel. And I made it a point to answer every email within 24 hours. And that takes a bit of time, but I was glad to do it.
So did you just change your email this morning?
in about 2 hours. No, right. Not at all. Not at all. I'm happy to still respond to people if they wish to contact me.
Sure. All right.
Do you still have a family, Gary?
I'm single. I'm not married, but I have parents and my siblings and extended family all throughout Oregon.
And an Toastmasters, amazing Star Wars collection.
Toastmaster. Oh, that's not going to help me get unsingle, is it?
not so much.
My Toastmasters family are very important in my life as well.
Mm. All right.
Great.
Another question for Gary. Sir, come on up. Your name and where you are from. And then your question.
First, my name. My name is Harry Aneziris. I'm from District 46 from Long Island, New York. Gary, before I ask my question, first of all, I'd like to thank you for the year that you served as a president and also for the many years behind that you served in other positions. Now, my question, is it okay if I ask two questions? My first question is that of all the positions you served in the past, which one did you enjoy the most? And my second question is now, what are your Toastmasters plans for the future?
Thank you for the kind words. I've enjoyed every leadership experience, but the three that have transformed me the most into a better person were serving as an area governor, district governor, and international president. I felt that I've grown a lot this last year as president, which proves that no matter how far your skills grow, and no matter how far you may reach in the leadership program, there's always something more to learn. And those of you who have known me prior to me being president and after, I hope you've seen the growth because I've definitely seen it in myself. And what I'm doing next, I'm still on the board of directors as immediate past president, and I will do everything I can to support Pat Johnson, our incoming president. And I want to help out at my home district where I've been a little absent because I've been focusing on serving the organization internationally. But I love helping build new clubs, and I hope to do that in my home district and help my club as well by earning at least 2 educational awards this year, a competent communicator and an advanced communicator bronze.
Right on. Right on.
There we go. All right. Who else had a question? Come on up, sir. Your name, where you're from, and your question.
Yeah, my name is Nand Khedkikar, and I am from Club 4792 and 1880 from Founders District and District 1. My question to Gary, you, is how could you manage your personal life while shouldering such a high responsibility of being an international president? Would you give your hints about it?
Yes, you learn amazing time management skills, but that's especially true of any leadership role. Most of us have jobs or families or other activities that take our time. And the question you have to ask yourself is, how valuable is it to you to spend the time to be a better person? To me, it was well worth the time I spent this year and in past years. And while I'm single, I don't like when people say, well, you're not married, so you have all this free time. That is not true. I'm just as busy as anyone else with the family and so forth. So you make the time for what's important in your life. And to me, the Toastmasters leadership skills you learn are worth every amount of time you spend on it, and well worth it.
All right.
Very good.
Sure.
My gosh.
Damon, where you're from?
This is Dale.
This is your opportunity.
Your big
Go
chance,
for it.
Dale. Make it count.
My name is Dale Olson. I'm from Wine Country Toastmasters up in Napa Valley. And our club
You said it.
Our
new club
is still in its infancy. We've celebrated our first anniversary next month on 9/11. And my question to you, Gary, is what kind of a special program could we put on? We're going to invite the commander of our camp to come join us for that day. What kind of a program can we have that would be special on our first anniversary?
I would suggest inviting back any members that were at your first club meeting a year ago to highlight some exciting things your club members have done or what your club has achieved in the past year. Invite the media and the press and other local organizations, Kiwanis Rotary Clubs, to come and see what it's all about and just have a really strong meeting to showcase how great your club is.
And perhaps invite Gary. He's got some free time.
Yeah.
We would love to have Gary. And I might mention that Mike Nataro is from our region, from our area at least. I've been to his club and Laugh Lovers Club in Oakland. And I also want to say Christine Robinson had the unfortunate experience of being in the same group of David Henderson in the semifinals. And so we knew David was a winner all the way. We all picked him as the winner.
That's right.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Dale.
All right. Any more questions for Gary? Yes, come on up. Your name and where you are from.
This is Jeopardy.
I'm Deb Grin from District 53 in Connecticut. My question for Gary is this. At what point in your career, your Toastmasters career, did you decide the international presidency was for you?
Mm. Actually, I attended my first international convention 11 years ago in Chicago in 1999. And at that convention, there was an education session about setting goals for your life, your Toastmasters life, but also your life. And the speaker asked everyone to take out a piece of paper and write on the list all the goals you want to achieve in Toastmasters. And I didn't know what to write down because I was just a fairly new Toastmaster, and I was kind of looking around and all the things I witnessed. So I just wrote down, I want to be a district governor one day, and I want to be the world champion of public speaking one day, and I want to be international president one day. I put the piece of paper away, and I never saw it again until this year after I'd already become international president. Didn't even realize I'd written it down. But it's kind of amazing how things transpire to work out in your life if you just put the intention out in the universe. Really, though, it was once I had served as international director on the board of Toastmasters when I even thought of running for president and that I could potentially do it. Prior to that, I had no indication, no inkling that I could even do it. Some people encouraged me, and I thought, well, maybe I could do it, and it went from there.
That's awesome. I wonder if there was anyone at the convention this year that wrote down a similar goal.
Well, I said this at the first-timers reception. I see a few first-timers here that look around the room. You're going to meet friends that you'll have for the rest of your Toastmasters career at this first convention, but also to set goals and look around and see what you like and what you'd like to do and put it out in the universe. And in 5 or 10 or 20 years, you will absolutely achieve it.
Right on.
All right.
Right on.
Good message. Okay, one more question for Gary. Come on down.
We got two more. The gentleman in the green shirt, why don't you get on deck?
There you go.
Come on up.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Bode. I'm from London, United Kingdom, and I've had a fantastic time. I've met loads of people, and I digress. Okay, my question is this. You've had a fantastic time, learnt loads of things. I'd like to know, what were the most challenging things about your position, and how did you actually overcome those challenges?
It was a great experience to chair the board of directors, and it is also a challenging, a difficult experience at times because there's so many things going through the mind if you chair a meeting. So if you've chaired a meeting at a club level or a district level, you may know that it can be an exercise of being focused and making sure everyone has a chance to participate and speak their mind, yet to maintain control of the meeting so that individuals don't manipulate the meeting or talk too much or not enough, and just to make sure everyone is heard and that the group moves forward with consensus. And when I had the opportunity to chair this board, I didn't really realize how difficult that was. We have a great board of directors, and we had healthy debates often, which is needed. Yet for me, it was my learning lesson of how to have focus. I don't want to use the word control, but in a way to have control of the meeting, someone has to guide the meeting, but to see where it goes and to be flexible enough to go in the direction that the board is going without going off the track, so to speak. So that was a challenging lesson to learn, but I felt that I hope I've learned it this year. It was very valuable to have that experience and simply to use my skills and to help the organization. So,
all right. Thanks, Gary. And you, sir, last question for Gary.
Hello, my name is Ivory Gwynn, and I'm from Chicago. And Gary, I was in Washington, D.C. when you were elected. What change have you put in place that you feel that it's going to make a difference in Toastmasters?
I personally have done nothing, but I've been on a board of directors that has worked together to do great things. Individuals don't do anything. It's a team that makes things happen. And I'm very proud of what the board of directors has done the 4 years I've served on it as an officer. One is the global representation and support that our membership approved last year, of which this year you're seeing the result of that, which are regions around the world, region advisors, all this, the whole training of district officers all happening in one place. The speech contestants, that was a component of it, all happening in one place. Just a dynamic new schedule and a way that we're moving forward as an organization. So I was happy to be a small part of that growth in our organization, how we're heading towards a bright new future. And I hope you realize that as well if you paid attention to what the board has done this week and also how the organization is moving forward. It really is exciting. It's putting us on a new track towards even greater growth, and how the organization is continuing to grow over time, as you've seen, is amazing, especially with the economy around the world. We're one of the only organizations that continues to grow and thrive, and that's because we have nimble and exciting leaders on the board and at the staff level and all across in our districts that are open to change and making things better. And that's very, very exciting.
I'm going
to
edit that so it just says, I personally have done nothing, and I'm going to stop it there. That's my gift to you, Gary, going away gift. I think we should all give Gary a big hand for the work he's done in the last year.
Thank you.
Job well done. We know you have to get somewhere. You got to get changed, and you got to do your presidential duty. So once again, Gary, thank you so much for being on with us. Thanks for coming. It's been a pleasure having you serve us for the last year. Thank you.
Thank you for your service and leadership, Gary. Thank you.
I just want to say I began my presidency on your podcast, and I ended on your podcast. What a perfect bookend. What a great bookend to my service.
Right on.
Thanks, Gary. All right. No, all right. Well, we're going to move on to the games. Should we do Jeopardy first?
Let's do it.
Let's do Jeopardy. All right. What we need is we need four contestants for Jeopardy. All right. We have three hands up. Why don't you guys come up? And one more.
Oh, we had our friend in the back.
All right. We have our four contestants. All right. This is the way it's going to work. Ryan, do you want to move the microphone over towards them a little bit if you can? Or you guys could even scooch over. So you're sharing the mic. Do you know on Jeopardy when you get the question, you smack the beeper and it goes beep beep? Well, you guys have to actually say beep beep. Okay? Okay, everybody try. Ready? One, two, three.
Beep beep. Beep.
All right. Well, let's try again. That wasn't that good.
Beep beep. Beep beep.
One, two, three.
Beep beep.
All right. Okay, all right. Good enough. That's the way. When you say beep beep, whoever says it first goes up to the mic and gives the answer. Ryan has the questions. Do you want to explain the rest, Ryan?
Yes, absolutely. And before I do that, let's meet our contestants.
Yes.
Do you want to go up to the mic one at a time, starting with you, sir?
Okay.
And again, your name, where are you from?
My name is Harry Neziris, and I come from Long Island, New York. This is District 46.
All right, we're going to call you Phil. Because that's
Harry.
Okay,
we'll,
Harry.
We'll go with Harry. All right. And Dale?
Dale Olson, Wine Country Toastmasters.
Right on.
Tammy Miller, State College Toastmasters, State College, Pennsylvania.
Tammy's second appearance on the podcast. And our final contestant.
Hello, everyone. I'm Linda, and I'm from Lake Avenue Toastmasters.
Right on.
All right, let's give a hand for contestants.
So we do have the categories behind us. Tammy, if you don't mind just flipping that sheet for me. The categories today are World Champions, Toastmasters Firsts, Location, 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 and No Educational Value Whatsoever.
Is there any double jeopardy or is this the only part of
it? Is there a what, please?
Double jeopardy?
Oh, no.
A double jeopardy?
We're keeping it simple here.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, this is it. We're not going to get too crazy on you. So, Harry, you're our first contestant here.
Yes.
You can choose your category and choose the amount that you want to
location,
go out for.
Location,
location, location for 100. All right.
Oh, you want me to read them? All right, here we go. Everybody gather around the mic because you're going to have to get ready with your beep beeps. Yeah, you can lower that a little bit. There you go. That's the way to play dirty.
Okay, here we go.
All right. Here's the question. Location, location, location for 100. The 2010 International Convention was originally...
Beep, beep.
Who was first, Ryan?
I think that was Tammy.
Sorry.
That was her.
It was a woohoo instead of a beep beep. I'm sorry.
All right. We'll accept it.
Okay. Where is Sydney, Australia?
Oh, great.
Well done.
Woo!
100 points for Tammy.
The question was, the 2010 International Convention was originally planned to be held on this continent. What is... We even just had Australia, but you just went the extra mile.
Extra credit. Two extra points, whoever's keeping score.
All right, 100 for Tammy.
So, Tammy, you choose your category and
let's go for location,
value.
Location, location for 400.
For 400, all right.
Wow. The question is, this first Toastmasters club outside the U.S. was chartered 75 years ago here.
British Columbia, Canada?
Right
nice.
On.
Way to go. Woo!
Well done.
British Columbia. What? Where is Victoria, British Columbia, Canada? But we'll accept that. Way to go.
Location for 300.
Oh, that was Tammy.
Tammy. All right. Tammy, you're up again.
Location for 300, please.
She's trying to clear the board here.
You guys got to be faster with the beep beeps. The question is...
Or the answer is.
The answer. That's right. Thank you. The very difficult to pronounce name of last year's conference location... Who was that? Say me again.
Mashantucket, Connecticut.
And say in the mic so we can hear.
Mashantucket, Connecticut.
Nope. What?
She didn't say.
Where is? What is?
All right, your one warning.
Okay.
Yeah, what is or where is Mashantucket, Connecticut? All right.
All right, 300 points for Tammy.
Okay, next.
Let's finish it off. Location for 200.
Location for 200, the last question of this category. The mailing address for Toastmasters International is located in this.
All right, so that was Linda.
Linda?
I'm going to take a guess. Mission Viejo, California.
You got it.
You got it.
Well done.
But next time, Linda, what is or where is? We'll let you go this time. That was your one pass.
Or who is?
Or
why not?
The question.
Or what now? If then.
All right, forget about it. Just pick the next category. We'll explain it to you later.
Deb Grand will tell you when we're done here.
Okay. World champs?
For 100?
300.
I'm not trying to persuade you to go one way or another. But
world champs for 300. And the answer is, hailing from Texas, this world champ is bigger than a stream, but smaller than a river.
Tammy? Who is David Brooks?
Who is David Brooks?
300 points for Tammy.
Tammy, you're up again.
Let's go for world champions for 400.
World champions for 400. And the answer is February. Uh-oh.
Disqualified.
Disqualification.
Cell phones.
No,
okay, the answer is February is this world champ's favorite month of the year. This takes a little thinking. February is this world champ's favorite month of the year.
Can we give him a little hint?
Yeah. February.
February 14th is this world champ's favorite day of the year.
Craig Valentine.
You got it, Harry.
All right. Who is Craig Valentine?
300 points. Was that 300?
That was for 400 points. Okay, Harry, you're up.
Yeah. 200 for the world champs.
World champs for 200. Yeah. And the answer is, this world champ unlocks the door to better public speaking.
Jim Key.
Who is Jim Key?
Harry!
And a shout out to Jim Key, who is in the house. Yay! Hey, Jim.
Jim Key.
You made our game. You should be very proud.
What you got, Harry?
The champs?
World champs for 100. The answer is, this world champ will make you laugh. Guaranteed.
Beep, beep. Who is Darren LaCroix?
I like how Harry doesn't even wait to see if he's the first.
He doesn't
beep.
Even wait. He just beeps
out
and yells
answer.
It out.
Assertiveness.
All right. Who is Darren LaCroix? That is correct. For 100. New category.
No educational value whatsoever. 100.
No educational value whatsoever for 100. The answer is, this color of M&M candy is the most recent addition to the pack.
Was it? Blue.
What is blue? That's right.
Back to Tammy.
Wow. No educational value whatsoever for 400.
Same category for 400. And the answer is, Beau and Ryan ate this Italian favorite for lunch today.
400. And do I lose 400?
Kim's wife in the back knows. I mean, Bo's wife in the back knows.
Italian favorite.
Beep, beep.
Yes.
What is pizza?
What is pizza?
Oh, this woman is amazing.
And she wasn't even there. Way to go, Tammy.
You smell his breath.
I would have guessed lasagna.
That was my second guess.
Yes, but if it was not.
Well,
is there a dispute? Did you
there's
want to
no
lodge
dispute.
A complaint?
Hey, I'm here and I ate pizza. No dispute. All right.
No educational value for 300, please.
No educational value whatsoever for 300. The answer is, this is the number of past world champs who are bald since 1999.
What is 2?
Oh, no.
Who's going to beep in next?
Beep, beep.
Yes.
I'll take three.
No.
Quick, beep in.
Here's a hint. There's a lack of hair going on in the last 10 years. Five.
We're
going to accept it.
That's right.
We weren't sure about Craig Valentin.
Craig.
No, he's got hair? Well, I don't know. That's I think everybody cuts it tight, if you know what I mean. But we'll accept
Good job, Linda.
Good job. And did someone pick? Did
your choice, Linda.
You're up.
No education whatsoever.
No educational value whatsoever for 200 points. The final question in that, your final answer in that category. At 7'4". Yes.
Who is Mark Eaton?
The answer is at 7'4", this is the name of the tallest living mammal in all of Palm Desert today. Who is Mark Eaton? All right, we're down to just one category, four questions. Toastmasters firsts. We have 1, 2, 3, and 4 all available. Tammy, you're up.
For 400, please.
For 400. The answer is, these two handsome, smart, charming young men host the first official pod. Yes.
Who are Bo and Ryan?
Who are Bo and Ryan? Correct.
That was a gimme.
Host the first official podcast for Toastmasters International. Tammy? Toastmaster first for 300. The answer is, the very first Golden Gavel dinner was held in this year.
Beep, beep.
Yes.
1936.
No.
Beep, beep.
Yes.
What is 2010?
That is correct. It was a trick question, and he got it.
This year, right.
What or when is 2010? That is because, who knows the answer? Who knows why?
It was always on lunch. It was always at lunch.
It was always at lunch. Maybe snack. Everybody sits down cross-legged on the floor. That'll be kind of neat. All right.
Well done.
I choose 200 for the first. Toastmasters first for 200.
Just that image of everyone sitting cross-legged on the floor sharing a snack. Peanut butter apples.
That's if Elmo wins. All right. We're down to 200. The answer is Toastmasters International began at the YMCA in Santa Ana, California in this year. When or what is 1924? Correct.
Nice job, Tammy.
This is almost no fun with Tammy.
I know.
No. This is the last one.
Come on, Dale. Okay.
Come on, Dale. For your group, for the wine country beep, beep. In Napa Valley.
Wine country.
The answer, no. Okay. Yeah, the answer is 37 years ago, TI opened membership to these members.
Women, what are women?
Women.
Okay. Let's give it to Dale. Why not?
All right, Dale.
He broke the protocol, but good enough. Right, what or who are women? All right, so scorekeepers. We know, I think we know that Tammy won. How about the others? What are the points? Well, we have prizes. 700 to who?
To me.
To Harry?
700 to Harry.
Harry,
Linda.
700.
Linda had 500?
Linda had 500.
Linda had 500.
Good job, Linda.
Dale?
Dale had 100.
Dale had 100. And just for argument's sake, Tammy?
2,100.
Whoa! 2,100.
Absolute majority.
Ryan, do you have the gifts ready?
Yes, they are right in front of you, Bo.
All right, I'll let you.
All right. Our first place winner, Ms. Tammy, gets this fine accessory. I have no idea what it does, but it has a battery in it. I'm guessing maybe it lights up and flashes. Oh, you don't?
No.
All right, well, you're going to enjoy it anyway. Our second place winner was Harry. All right. Harry, I'm going to give you here some hand sanitizer. Toastmasters International hand sanitizer. Look at that. Anybody's. Just don't try using it as breath spray. That's not going to work out too well for you. And our third place winner was
Linda. I believe.
And Linda, you're going to get a Toastmasters International retractable lanyard. Have fun with that.
Wow.
Enjoy that. And Dale, finally, representing Napa Valley Wine Country Toastmasters in Napa Valley.
A bottle of wine, I'll bet you.
Nope, you're going to go show this off to your club. This also is a retractable lanyard.
All right, thank all you right. much.
Thank
Give
you
a hand
all
for
our
contestants. Job well done.
Tommy, congratulations, great job.
That was amazing. Good job, all right. The world champ just entered the building, the current 2010 world champ, David Henderson. David, come on up, everybody.
Come on up, Dave.
World champ of public speaking 2010. Give him a hand.
How are you doing, man?
Good job.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Have a seat.
Okay.
Here's your mic.
Sweet.
My name is Bo Bennett, in case you don't know me. Have you heard the podcast before?
You know what? I've downloaded it before, but I don't think I've listened to very many of them before.
That's all right. I came into the speech session, but I left.
Okay.
So, that's not true. I heard the whole thing. This is my buddy Ryan.
And I'm Ryan. Hello.
Hey,
congratulations,
how are you doing,
Ryan? Dave. Fantastic.
On?
Congratulations. The first question Thank is, you. How do you feel?
You know what? I don't think it's really set in yet.
Yeah.
I don't think of myself as someone who's completely mastered all the skills we're supposed to learn in Toastmasters. And so it's funny because I find myself thinking, well, I won, so I can't really say that anymore. You know, I guess I better start having a little bit more confidence. Right. But it feels really good. It's just it hasn't all set in yet.
All right. Well, we took a little informal vote here, and pretty much everybody nailed you as the winner.
Did you?
By clear beforehand.
Awesome.
So, I mean, it was
awesome.
It was great. You did a
awesome.
Wonderful job. For
Thanks.
Those who weren't fortunate enough to hear the speech, I'm not going to make you repeat it, of course, but can you just tell us pretty much what it was about? Give us the 30-second version.
The speech is basically about coping with loss. If you ever love somebody, then you can realize, even if you don't lose them, there's a potential there to lose them. And once it sets in that can happen, the question is, what do you do? And the speech answers that question. What do you do?
Mm. And I think the question on everybody's mind is, how hot were you in that jacket?
You know, the jacket actually wasn't that bad. But, you know, I was so amped up, I don't even know if I would have noticed it. I think it was the hat that actually made me feel really hot.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Ryan.
Dave, I want to ask, did you have a place at home picked out for the trophy before you came out to Palm Desert?
I mean, honestly, no. I found myself thinking that in each of the competitions, if I could just advance one level, I'd be really happy with that year's competition.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I advanced beyond district. I was really happy with that. And then I tried to tell myself, at this point forward, I'll write speeches about people that I care about and things I care about. And I'll just try to make it all about feeling that I've represented those issues and those people properly when I get up on stage, and then whatever happens, happens.
How long have you been a Toastmaster?
I've been a Toastmaster about 3 years. You know, I don't know how close I am to having been one for almost 4 years, but 3 to 4 years.
And you've been competing pretty much from the beginning.
I didn't the very first year, and to be quite frank, I was too scared to do it the very first year that I joined Toastmasters. I mean, when I joined the first competition that came up, I was too scared to do that one. But then I did the one the following year.
Okay. Can you give us a little background of the competition, the speaking competition, the stages? Many people haven't competed. Maybe they just haven't had the nerve to actually jump in and actually do it. But it kind of explained from district all the way up to where you are now. I'm sorry, from the club level
sure.
to where you are now. How it went and when your speeches had to change.
I think that's a great question for me. And my girlfriend, Josephine, who's sitting in the back, is my witness. I hated my speech so much after the clump competition, I had a really hard time getting up the nerve to keep moving forward. Mm. I absolutely hated my speech after the club competition. I wasn't satisfied with it. I had no idea how I was going to fix it. And I went through draft after draft after draft after draft, rewriting it before the next level of the competition. And then after I rewrote it for the next level of the competition, I found myself thinking, you know, I feel like I have a coherent story now and I have some things in it that are funny, but if somebody were to ask, what's the point? I don't know that the speech answers that question. So I read a couple of books, the most helpful of which was a book called Made to Stick. And then I figured it out, okay, the idea behind the speech is that hope is the best medicine and all these other things that are going on are just designed to reinforce that message. So now I felt good about that speech. But I was like, you know, I don't know how to write another speech that I like as much. And I honestly didn't think I was going to be able to do it. And I can tell you, since I started typing the speech up, this speech went through 11 different typed drafts. And the draft you heard today has actually never been typed up. But before I typed any drafts, I went through 2 complete notebooks of different drafts and different ideas. And that was after I did brainstorming on what to write the speech about. So it's not like it just comes together when you get up there on stage. But the flip side is I think the skills need to be just like that. I think they just need to come up together on stage. I don't agree with the way that a lot of people compete. A lot of people write a speech and they tell themselves, I'm going to become an expert at giving this speech. And all these things that are in the manuals that you're supposed to be learning, they say, I'm going to learn them in the context of giving this one speech and do great in the competitions. When you were in school and you learned a new vocabulary word, you were supposed to use that vocabulary word in your everyday life. So when you take the test, you know what the word means because you use it all the time. With speaking skills, once you learn how to tell a joke, you should be telling jokes in your everyday life. People should look forward to hearing you tell funny stories. That way, when you write your speeches for the competitions, you don't have to rehearse how to tell a joke because you tell jokes all the time. Mm-hmm. I do think it should work that way. So I do think that you should be able to make adjustments. That trip and fall that happened during my speech was something I came up with yesterday. And honestly, when I did it on stage, I did not know how it was going to turn out. But I think you need to be willing to do that if you want to compete in Toastmasters.
Wow, amazing. Your formula worked.
So that was three different speeches or two from start to finish?
You mean for this competition?
For this competition, all the way from club level to now. How many different speeches did you actually deliver in order to make it to the next level?
I think technically I delivered two different speeches, but because before today I delivered different drafts of the same speech. But if I showed you the first draft of the speech and the final draft of the speech, you wouldn't recognize them as being the same speech.
Mm. Okay. Good gotcha. Enough. Well, Dave, I know we have audience members who are just dying to get up here and ask you some questions.
Sure.
So if you're open to that, we'll invite audience members to come on up. And
okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, come on up.
Come on up
once
to the mic, please.
Name your club and then go ahead with the question.
Dale Olson again, Wine Country. David, I enjoyed your speech very much, and I wondered
Thank
about
you.
Your friend that had the sickle cell when she was seven. Has sickle cell played another important part in your life, or is that just something that happened that time and now it's no longer part of your life?
Well, I have more than one member in my family who's died from sickle cell. Well, the way my family works, sometimes you've got people that you call family, and you don't know if they're technically family or not. But we've known several people over the years who've died from sickle cell. The girl in the speech is actually, the speech is about real people, but it's mythologized. I don't know a better way to say that. We have a girl in my family who died very young. Her name is actually Jackie Gibson. And I know Jackie was my aunt's first child, and Jackie died. I don't know for sure if Jackie died from sickle cell or not. It wasn't something I ever felt comfortable asking a whole bunch of questions about, to be honest, because the pain is still fresh from it. But in the context of trying to talk about the hard issue of losing people, I think using a child makes it easier because the audience will take to them more quickly. It's also unfair from our perspective for a child to die. And given that she's an African-American child, I thought the most effective way to do that would be to say she has sickle cell in the context of the speech, and also use the speech as a platform to teach people a little bit about sickle cell.
When you gave her the scarf and you talked about it, did the tears come naturally? Do they always come in that part of the speech when you talk about giving her the scarf?
The tears come naturally because the irony for me as a Toastmasters is my main goal when I joined Toastmasters was to learn how not to tear up when I give speeches. And after giving several speeches, I realized, okay, this isn't going to happen. It's easy to say it now that I'm the world champion this year, but I felt like a failure when I couldn't learn how to do it. And so this was kind of like a Hail Mary pass. I said, well, if I can't figure out how to make myself stop crying, I'll try to just learn how to put in context for the audience why I'm crying. I didn't think I'd ever actually manage to make people in the audience cry. So in the scarf scene, part of what I'm thinking about is what I actually know about Jackie, what I know about kids who've died under similar circumstances, and that's where the emotion comes from for me.
Good.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Just for the record, I wasn't crying. Something got in my eye during that part of the speech. And I just kept on rubbing it. And all right, next.
Here's the man.
Hey, my name is Jim Key. I'm the 2000 World Champion of Public Speaking. And before I have a question, I want to say that there are moments in speech contests when a speaker has such a strong impact on you that during that minute of silence, you are still resonating with the emotion that person has touched in you. And usually it stops after the minute of silence. But for me today, it continued throughout the rest of the speech contest because it's been a long time since I've seen someone touch such raw, authentic, sincere emotion in me by listening to them speak. And so I think for that, you are to be congratulated, and I am thrilled that you are now one of the newest champions. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. So my question is this. Over the years, there have been a number of champions that have done, a number of contestants that have done creative things with their attire. And in some cases, it's not that big a risk. In some cases, it is. But a lot of people are not bold enough to go ahead and do something that might put them out there at risk, even if the payoff is so big. Mm. Now, with your attire, you took a, you took a bold move, mm-hmm. and I think it worked well. But could you talk a little bit about your thought process in deciding whether or not to do that? And do you realize now that your days of anonymity at Toastmasters conventions are over?
I think I'm learning that the days of anonymity are over. When it comes to using creative ideas like props for a speech, if you were to ask me whether or not I think you should do it, most of the time I'd probably tell you no. But I think that if it's in your nature to do it, you're going to do it anyway, and I think that's the way it should be. I think too many people wait for people to tell them what to do in Toastmasters, and it seems like a lot of people who compete want other people who've won to tell them what to do to win. And if you ask me what my honest opinion is about how you need to become a better communicator, because that's what we're trying to do, not become better speakers, become better communicators. By the time you finish your Competent Communicator Manual, you should have a sense of what your style is. And then you should take that style and you should go with it, and you shouldn't listen to anybody who tells you not to. And at the end of the day, maybe the world doesn't like your style. I honestly thought people might really hate this speech today. It's easy to say now that I've won that it's good. I really thought people may have laughed me off the stage with some of the things that I did. I like mythologies. I like stories where they have exaggerated characteristics, but at the same time, they still feel real. I love all the Pixar movies because the Pixar movies do that. Up is a movie about aging and loss. And yet you've got these dogs running around that can talk because there's this collar that translates their barking into actual words. I like things like that. I like using things like that in my speeches. Irony is I don't like antics in my speeches. The reason why I use children is because I think children do things involving antics, but kids actually make airplane noises and machine gun fire. Adults don't do that. I'm fine with a child doing that in a speech, but once you decide to do that in a speech, then you've got to sell them on the fact that you're a child doing it. And you know, bomber jacket really isn't enough. A kid would want like a pair of goggles or a little hat or some type of cool badge or a plastic gun. But again, if you were to ask me basically whether I think it's a good idea, I think it's a huge risk. And the one rule I have is if you're not going to use it in the speech, then don't take it up there. And personally, if you can't keep it on your person, I say don't take it up there.
Okay. Well, I think the audience here in the room and the audience listening to the podcast now understand why you're the world champion. Again, congratulations.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
All right, we got time for about two more questions, so come on up. Name where you're from.
Frank Lev, South Korea. What do you do with a world championship speech after it's done? Do you keep giving it? Do you go to high schools? Do you what's the future of your speech now?
You know, for me, this is the first speech competition where I've given a couple of speeches that I don't mind giving again. The speeches that I've given before, I'm actually not happy with to the point of being embarrassed about them. So I actually don't want to ever give them again. I said, these speeches are laid to rest. We're going to start over again. We're going to do this right this next time. So now that I've given a speech that I actually like and don't mind giving again, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with it. I can tell you this, though. I realized last night if I was going to sell the audience on that fall, it had to be a real fall, and I can't do that fall on every surface.
All right. Last question.
I took the chance.
Okay. Yes. Hi. Okay, come on up.
Okay, I'm from Istanbul, Turkey, and Toastmasters is very new there. The club we founded 2 years ago. And I want to ask you, what is your recommendation to the people? Maybe they're not really aware of public speaking and communication skills. Like, people are not really aware that this is very, really important. What do you recommend us to bring the attention to the public that developing their communication skills are really important so that we can use that strategy to grow Toastmasters in Istanbul and in Turkey?
I would tell you to avoid making it about public speaking because personally I don't think it's about public speaking. I think it's about communication, which you mentioned, and I think that communication comes up mainly in the context of relationships. So I would identify the relationships that most of the people you want to recruit to your organization are a part of. And I'm talking about, I don't know what it's like between fathers and sons, fathers and daughters, mothers and daughters. where you're from, but I would give some serious thought to ways in which communication affect those issues. And then don't tell them you're going to learn how to give speeches. Tell them you're going to learn how to improve at these communicative issues. And I think that's the way you recruit people to your organization.
Thank you. Okay, great. And you had one more question. I know you're very desperate, so come on up here. Ask your question. We could go one more minute.
I just had to come up and say that I am proud to bear the last name Henderson.
Awesome.
And I have no idea if there's any kind of, you know, relationship. And I would certainly also like to add that I would definitely not want to be someone who's accused of something that you're prosecuting. And my question for you would be, do you picture, I love the comments and how with every chance that you've had to say something to us, you've taught us something else.
Thank you.
And I really see that you have a brilliant ability to take three sentences and you've touched my heart in a very profound way.
Thank you.
I would love to ask you to think about and to ponder how you're going to continue using this gift to share with us in the future.
Thank you very much. Was that a question or just?
No, I want an answer.
Oh, I see. How to use it in the future.
Yeah.
You know, there are several different things I've thought about with regard to where to move forward. Because for me, because of the fact that I've just learned how to do these things, I feel like this is the very beginning, not the end, of a very long journey. I would like to learn how to use communication in a way that's completely healthy and beneficial. I don't always feel that way about the practice of law. There's a very destructive aspect to the practice of law, and there's no way to eliminate that in the culture of practicing law. I like the idea of public health. I like the idea of using my speech in the context of teaching people more about religion. I'm Christian, and teaching them more about how to live their lives more effectively. I don't know exactly what that will translate into, but I do believe I can write better speeches than the ones that I've given in the competition so far because of the things that I've learned in the competition so far, not the least of which is that people are not going to absolutely hate ideas I was afraid that they very might well absolutely hate.
All right. Let's give David another round of applause.
Yes, thanks.
Job well done. All right. And closing it up, thank you guys very much for joining us for this live edition. Thank you, David. It was a pleasure and congratulations.
Congratulations to you.
Awesome
victory.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks, everybody, for coming. We really appreciate it and hope you listen to our podcast. See you next time.
See ya.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.